Hi, this is Mike.
Good day, one and all. This is Dave.
Hey, this is Izzy.
Good day, one and all. What is wrong with you? And hi, this is Matt, and you're listening to the Empty Spiral podcast, the official podcast of the Lacuna Core community. We're on episode, I can't remember. What episode are we on? Are we 166, I think it is. Yeah, we're on episode 166. It feels like we've been doing this forever, probably because we have. It's been well over 10 years. And we're still here, and we're not leaving anytime soon, because if nothing else, we've got the rest of this album to review. And then Lacuna Core are bringing out another album. I think they're trolling us at this point. Anyway, hello, everybody. Welcome on board. I'm going to ask Mike. Mike, how are you? What have you been up to? How's
hello.
Life treating you?
Good, thank you. Just work. work. The festive season, so it's lots of going out and curry and things like that. So yeah,
is curry festive? We put a bit of holly on the top of it, it's festive.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's the time for going out for various social evenings. I'm seeing Slipknot on Tuesday.
Oh, that classic Christmas band.
Exactly. Don't think they'll be singing Wonderful Christmas Time, though.
Well, why not? And they're worse because of it, as far as I'm concerned. I feel like if Slipknot can't sing All I Want for Christmas Is You, then who can? I feel like they should totally rock. Do you know what? If I was Slipknot, I would definitely do
rocking around the Christmas tree.
I'd definitely do a bit of a medley. Do you know what I mean? I'd roll into.
Well, Corey did a Christmas song, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah.
There you go. He's probably going to rock up and do that. I kind of want them all to wear like Krampus masks as well. You know, like, upgrade.
It's the 25th anniversary tour, so it's the original album just that in full.
Are they going to wear the original masks where they all look like something out of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, do you think?
I think it's that, yeah. It's just cool. The original album, Bank, 25 years.
I'm a little bit jealous. The 12 Days of Christmas thrown in for good measure.
Maybe.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, so when's this? When are you doing this?
Tuesday.
Okay, so you got that coming up just before Christmas. You get to see Slipknot.
That's
really cool. I am genuinely jealous. I hope you have an amazing time. Dave, how are you? Have you watched any Christmas movies yet?
I saw Red One with Dwayne Johnson.
Isn't that like a Star Wars movie?
No, not Rogue One.
Oh, okay. What's Red One?
It's disposable is what it is. It's a Dwayne Johnson film.
Right.
So that's all you need to know, really. It's fun enough. It was a bit silly. And it was Christmassy, and I'll likely not watch it again.
Oh, well, you're not selling it to me. I'm not going to lie.
From what I gather, I think it's a bit of a flop, actually.
Right. Okay. But you've got presumably some kind of season ticket to the cinema because you're always
So, we have an annual pass, so we can go and see whatever we want. It doesn't matter about, well, that cost us 15 quid. That was a waste.
That's true. I suppose if you've got a season pass, it doesn't really matter, does it? It's like, right. I'll just go along there and sit in a comfortable chair and eat overpriced popcorn and watch a movie that you.
But if you want a good Christmas movie, I think it's a lot of the time it's just the old favourites again, like Home Alone.
I'm not really a fan of Home Alone. I'm not going to lie. It's one of my least favourite Christmas movies.
Really?
Yeah. It's all a bit violent, isn't it? It's like this little kid bird setting a man's head on fire.
Violent in a charming, nice way.
But, if it was real, these guys would be in hospital, within 15 minutes of the beginning of the movie.
If it was real, what kind of films are you watching? Because don't you do things like Lord of the Rings? That was real...
No, but even then, the only shit bit in the Lord of the Rings is Legolas on a shield. What the fuck was that all about? No, I mean, like for Christmas, you know, you've got your classics like Die Hard and the Muppet Christmas Movie, right?
Gremlins
is not bad. Gremlins is not bad. I can give or take it, but I think it's a bit of a classic. Better than Home Alone. Elf, come on.
Is a pile of shit.
Oh, no, it's not. How dare you? There might be kids listening. You can't say stuff like that.
Sorry, a pile of poop.
It's Elf! Santa! Oh, come on. All right, okay. We're going to have to agree to disagree. Home Alone, my ass. Right. Hello, Izzy. How are you? We were joined today by Izzy. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Just been working a lot. I'm actually getting ready for next, or this Christmas is going to be my first Christmas in England, so it'll be great.
Nice. Okay, you get to do the English thing. Good job. Where are you joining us from then in England? Or are you not in England at the moment? Where are you?
No, right now I'm in Pennsylvania, but
Okay.
my girlfriend lives in Liverpool, so I'll be going
Nice.
over there that way.
Okay. So how do you celebrate in Pennsylvania, and what are you expecting from a Liverpudlian Christmas?
Honestly, I don't do much for Christmas. I just kind of work usually and
Okay.
be with my dog. So it'll be nice. Looking forward to Christmas dinner and all that.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, the King's Speech. I'm not quite sure anybody actually listens to that. It's a thing. I'm always eating at that point in time. We've got loads of traditions. My family's got loads of traditions at Christmas that don't involve Christmas cards. But yeah, no, I'm sure you have a great time. You have to tell us what your first English Christmas was all about and whether or not it was weirdly different, you know. And are you going to eat Brussels sprouts, for example? Which is
I love Brussels sprouts, so
okay. Do you
yeah.
know, I was on the Guardian web. This is, by the way, completely true, and it threw me. I nearly screenshotted it and posted it on Facebook. The headline on the Guardian website earlier today, might be yesterday, I think it was earlier today, was Brussels sprouts are going to be larger and sexier this year.
Yeah, 25% bigger.
Sexier.
That's what he literally said. That was the
Yeah,
Mike, did you see
I
it?
saw it.
It was literally, they're going to be bigger and sexier. I'm like, how do you, without going into really weird detail, how do you make a Brussels sprout sexier?
Well,
Well,
it was
indeed.
seen.
But I was like, what kind of headline is that? Oh yeah, what you know, you can imagine having your family over and in front of the kids, and you're sitting at your Chris having your Christmas turkey, and someone says, well, these Brussels sprouts look particularly sexy this year. It's like, well, that's the inappropriate conversation with
These
the
aren't
dinner table.
just any Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, indeed.
These are what, S&M
S&M,
Brussels sprouts.
not MLS Brussels sprouts, S&M Brussels sprouts. Anyway, we're not talking about Brussels sprouts because we're not, because I don't find them either sexy or barely edible really. I love Christmas, by the way, but Brussels sprouts are things, one of the obligations, you know. I get two on my plate and I go, on then, I'll eat them, can we move on? So you're doing turkey, Izzy, do you think, for Christmas?
She said we're doing pork.
Pork is good. All right, we like pork. Yeah, nice. I think we're doing duck and maybe a turkey crown because I'm having my mother-in-law over and she insists on having turkey, even though no one really likes it. It's a bit weird, isn't it? It's like,
Big
you get,
try.
yeah, here's a tradition. You're gonna have this thing. You don't like it, but you're gonna make you do it. And it was weird. It's me, of course, that has to buy the bloody things. Like, you know, in the supermarket the weekend, buying a turkey that I'm not actually gonna enjoy. Christmas is weird like that. We do things we don't like because it's tradition. Very strange. Anyway, this is not the Christmas podcast. Let's talk about Lacuna Coil. So, bit of news we have just come out that on the 14th of February, which might be familiar to anybody as Valentine's Day, Lacuna Coil are going to be in London for a signing session of the new album, Sleepless Empire, at the Hammersmith store. No, not Hammersmith store, the HMV store, I should say. The HMV store in Oxford Street, I believe it is. Okay. If you go to hmv.com, or if you look on the links on social media on Empty Spiral, you will see that you can sort of get a ticket. I think the ticket is basically you buy an album and then you get in to sign it. That's the impression I get.
You get a wristband, yeah.
Yeah, wristband. But there doesn't seem to be any substantial cost to the ticket. I felt like the cost of where, because you could buy one of a number of different formats, like, you know, Sleepless Empire is coming out in, like, you know, CD, vinyl. There's a special case, and the price didn't look like any different than what RRP is to me. So it felt like
No.
it felt like you weren't really paying a ticket. You're just committing to buying the album, picking it up at HMV, and then getting it signed. Right? That's the
That's what,
overall.
from previous experience, that I've done this for Megadeth and for Billy Idol, and it's limited tickets as well, usually. So it'll be capped at possibly, I don't know whether it'll be 50 or maybe 100. It's usually capped at. You go in, give your like confirmation code, they'll give you a wristband for the event, and then you'll line up, and then they'll arrive and sign it.
Okay.
So
That's kind of cool. That's kind of
very
cool.
very organized usually, the both people I've met, so I think it will be for this.
So I'm going on the website at the moment. It doesn't look like they're out of tickets yet. So if anybody still wants to go, you can do as a time of recording.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got mine, so I'll be there.
Same.
You're going to be there, Mike? You're coming down for the day from?
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting that it's just the signing and they're not doing anything else.
I did wonder that, if they're going to sneak in like an acoustic set or something like that.
I would have thought so, yeah, with the format for HMV. They might, but from the two I've done, it's bang, bang, it's done. So,
well, it's a good excuse to go out the pub after, isn't it, really?
Exactly.
Without bundles of signed goodies as we sort of stumble to the nearest pub. Are you going to be there, Dave?
Yes. Yeah, got my wristband ticket code, whatever you call it.
And Izzy, you will be officially a Liverpudlian at that point. So will you come down to London or are you staying in Liverpool in February, do you think?
No, I won't be around for that. But I won't be there for that.
No worries. Okay. Well, we'll check in with you closer to the time and we'll try and press gang you, maybe like chloroform you and drag you to the signing or something. I was going to say in a really unweird way, but I'm not quite sure anything I've just said is weird by default. So I think there'll be a few of us there, and I guess we can, seriously go to a pub, have some food or something, because it's about 6 o'clock in the evening on a Friday night, so I'm sure there'll be things to do. In Oxford Street, we could see the lights, but I don't really mean that because it's February by then. We can all go out on a weird
Valentine's
day.
Lights. Have they got those?
Yeah, we can go out to a McDonald's and find out they've scattered roses across the tabletop when we're having our burger to make it more romantic.
It's a good excuse for another Coiler meetup, anyway.
Who doesn't? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, I sort of digress. Izzy, fellow Coiler, currently of Pennsylvania, but soon to be of Liverpool. Welcome to the podcast. We thought we'd have a bit of a catch up, see how you are, that kind of thing. See you got into Lacuna Coil, see how being part of the Coiler community is, and all that kind of stuff, really. You probably know the format by now. So let's make a start, shall we? How did you become a fan of Lacuna Coil?
Yeah, right. So I actually been into them since I was probably 13.
Okay.
At the time, I didn't have like internet or cable, so I'd go to my friend's house a lot, and we would watch Headbangers Ball.
Nice.
And I used to collect like the Headbangers Ball CDs, and Heaven's Lie was on one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used to play that a lot and watch the video for that and Swamped all the time on YouTube. So my friend, she said, you know, like, I have the CD, why don't you, I'll burn you a copy of it and everything. And I would listen to that over and over. And then once Karma Code came out, I was there the week that it was on sale, got that CD. It's still my favorite CD, I think, to this day. And I think Karma Code's what really, really got me into them as a full-length album. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So you play Karma Code a lot. When was the first time that you got a chance to see them live?
Right, so actually not until after COVID. So okay, I've always been a fan of them. And then when Delirium came out, I really heavily got into them. I liked that the sound was a little heavier, darker tone. Kind of more the music line that I enjoy to listen to. And the storyline they have with that album, I thought it was so brilliant the way they made it. And I wanted to see them then, but I couldn't get around to it with work and my life at the time and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I bought a ticket right before COVID for Black Anima, and then they had to cancel that tour, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And
which was, so how annoying is that? You finally get around and get a chance to see them in the cancel. It's like me and Myriad Pearl Jam experiences, which I won't bore you with. But
mm-hmm. I got to see them the first show back in Atlanta, and it was a great experience. And I've seen them 8 times now since then.
Wow, you've been playing catch up big time, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
Nice. So you were in the UK for what, some of the shows that they did recently, and you got to Manchester and London?
Yes, I did.
What did you think of the shows?
I thought they were really great. It was a whole different pace kind of than what I was used to seeing shows in the US. I think too, because like I had a lot planned in those days, like
I
during the
see.
day.
So
So
it's a whole
when you're
event.
upstairs, I get there really early, like obnoxiously early, and make friends with people online and stuff like that. But there was just a lot to see this trip. But I thought they did a great job. It was so good to hear their oxygen, and it was really cool to hear that song for the first time.
Yeah, I loved it live. We talked about it in the last podcast. Absolutely a highlight for me. And again, a song that I liked. I liked the single release, but said it too many times now. Lacuna Coil shows and Lacuna Coil songs come alive. I mean, I know that sounds cliche, but they do. They kind of there's something special about when you hear them live for the first time. It really is.
I got really excited too for hosting The Shadow because I love When I'm Gone.
Oh, there you go.
And so that was good to hear too for the first time as
I
well.
think we're all secretly waiting for the day when we're at a Lacuna Coil show and Christina talks about Randy and then he walks on. That's what we're kind of hoping for, right? Whenever there's a collaboration, right, with any bands, you're always hoping that they'll somehow make it that you don't have to have the recorded track of the collaborating artist. They'll be there as well. So I'm certainly hoping for that with all their collaborations, just because I haven't had much opportunity to see that happen, and it'll be really, really cool. Was there a particular highlight of the shows that you kind of came away with?
I think just hearing those two songs for the first time. And then I think Daniel did a really good job too. That's the first time I got to see him play with them. So I think he did really good. I lived up to it, so
It's interesting, isn't it? We talked about this a few times, both during the podcast and just during touring, that coming on stage for a tour, especially for a band like Lacuna Coil, they have their own particular style, and Dee Dee being very familiar with a lot of the fans, you kind of, I'd imagine in his own mind, he realized he had a lot of sort of big shoes to fill kind of thing up on stage. But he really found his element, didn't he? He found his character, shall we say. And it was quite clear that it was him, and he was doing a lot of posing, and it was him and Mackie were on one side of the stage, and they're all swinging the guitars up and down on stuff like that. He really he embraced what he was doing. Even though he said he was, having a bit of a panic station from time to time and quite nervous, as anybody would be, I guess. But it didn't really come, it didn't show on stage for me. He really did a great job. Really did a great job. So, do you have like a favorite song, whether it's on live or going back all the way to whether it was when you first heard them via Coma Lies or when you got Karma Code a few years later? What's your sort of favorite Lacuna Coil song and why?
That's a really hard question, but I think my favorite song is Beneficium.
Ooh, okay, a very
Yeah.
popular song. Yeah. Why is
Just because
that?
it's so powerful, and like when that song came out, it kind of helped me through a thing I was going through where I connected to the song a lot. So here, like I would listen to that song a lot over and over, and just the power in it. I don't think they have a song I feel like that is as powerful as that song. And then hearing it for the first time when I went to the Atlanta show, it was just it just hit me so hard. And definitely that song, I think.
Cree, well, they all do an amazing job, but Cree really blows it away when she sings that song. I remember the first time I heard Beneficium. I don't know about you guys think, but it was like, is this a Lacuna Coil song? Because it was so it, I mean, it was like it was still one of their songs, but it was different. It was powerful in a different way. It had that kind of power metal kind of vibe about it that I didn't really equate to being Lacuna Coil. They've done that a couple of times. They caught me out with a few songs that I think, oh, they've taken a bit of a different direction. And obviously the use of Latin in it as well really gave it a kind of a I wouldn't say an operatic or gothic vibe. I don't know how best to put it. But yeah, I can understand. A very impactful song. And it feels utterly epic, doesn't it? Because a lot of their songs are quite short these days. This one still feels like it's got a lot of length to it. You know, is it 5:59 or well into 6 minutes? It's something like that. It's quite a long song for Lacuna Coil, and it really feels epic. Powerful. Sorry?
A proper epic.
It is a proper epic. It's sort of telling a story, and it's got all, you know, you've got the slow bits, you've got a reprise, you've got a return, you've got a lead in, you've got a lead out. It absolutely feels like they've done an amazing job engineering that. No, great. I hope you see more songs like that, but not too many, because I wouldn't want it to become their mainstay. But I would like, you know, it's always easy to see what they surprise us with. So the Lacuna Coil community is quite close knit, and I think most people consider it to be pretty friendly. And what's your involvement or your engagement with the community? Do you sort of form various different chat places?
Yeah, actually, I feel like I've kind of like not really been online or anything until COVID.
Right.
I always listened to them as just, it was a band that I connected to, and I would get lost with them. And then when COVID happened, it kind of hit me like all of these people feel the same. And I'm not really that social of a person. So like to have platforms like Twitch and Instagram where mainly just typing to each other, it was a little bit easier to connect and everything. And but I joined the karaoke.
You did?
And yep, I did that a few times. A lot of times it was while I was at work, because we never stopped working at my job during that time. But I would try to join when I could. And Twitch, I wouldn't miss a Twitch for the longest time.
Yep.
And I've made a lot of really good friends through all that, and a lot of people I consider family. And I met my girlfriend through Lacuna Coil too. So
wow, that's amazing. I love those kind of stories. You know, I met my partner through Lacuna Coil. I mean, what kind of legacy is that, right? To be able to say that you're not just creating music, you're bringing people together, and you're bringing people together, you know, in a way that changes their life, right? That's just amazing. And I'm just reflecting on the community. I think a lot of people, myself included, could say that the Lacuna Coil songs, the band, their music, and the community that are formed around us really helped us, A, get through some difficult times, but B, really helped us get through COVID, get through the pandemic when we were all locked up and, you know, it was hard to engage with people. And
actually, you say about the community, I know as well, Izzy, that you're very artistic. And part of the Coiler community is the artist side, where, you know, they get inspired by the music or the artwork to create their own pieces. I mean, apart, music aside, is the art of Lacuna Coil, you know, if you've got a favourite piece or a favourite style, because album by album, they tend to have a theme and an artistic vision. Do you have a favorite sort of artistic era?
Probably Black Anima era.
Why? I need to know now. That's a great question. I think you should ask that back. I now want us to know, everybody to know what our artistic era is. So is this Black Anima?
Because I like all the symbolism that they used, like with the shirts that they had, that was kind of the Libra symbol, and the tarot card thing they were going. I just love that style of artwork, and like the style that they're still kind of going with now, it's kind of following that. It reminds me of like an etching of some sort, which I love that kind of art.
Okay, what about you, Dave, then? You know, asking the question back, reflecting it back at you, what's your favorite era of Lacuna Coil art?
I honestly think they're probably getting better with every album cycle. They seem to be delving deeper into that side of it, the presentation. I liked the Delirium era.
Yes,
because that was kind of pretty dark. But with such a big backstory behind it, all the reasons behind it, they were almost creating this world, the storyline. the more than anything, I'll tell you what I like with every album, almost every album, they have a very striking album cover with that's easily identifiable, rather than just a band shot or a stage shot or a stock photo, it's a focused singular piece. So you've got the sunflower or the thistle or the Karma Code face, or the what should have been the album cover for Delirium, which was the elephant,
The
in
elephant,
my opinion. That
yeah,
was
no, I
the
agree.
only sort of
I love that.
deviation. Or like you say, for Black Anima, you've got the dragon. And now we've got the skull, the bird skull. So with every album, they've really focused on one particular singular vision, one image. And that's what I like. So it's not one era, but it is what I think of as their style. And that's carried through. And
We
that's what I
took.
really like.
Talked about this before, haven't we? Because I still am. I'm in two minds. I mean, I firstly I agree with what you said about the different types of art they have, and that there is a singular vision. I feel like it's not consistent, and I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But when you look at Unleashed Memories and Comalize having that theme, you had the sort of the sun theme for Unleashed Memories, and then the sunflower theme. They're different, but they're the same. They've got that kind of central circular vibe about them, and I kind of wish they'd carried on.
That
So
identifies them as
yeah,
them.
I sort of wanted that to, like, you could have all these different artistic styles but still have a central circular kind of motif. And you kind of get that with Black Anima, where she's saying sort of the Malayan dragon.
Exactly, but even the face of Karma Code, it's almost
It
circular.
is. I'm looking at it. Yeah, I'm, well, it's a face, isn't it? Yeah, but it's not the same. It's not the same.
No.
About you, Mike? What's your favorite art era? This is now segueing into a completely different conversation, is he? Don't worry, you'll get used to that with us. So just you.
I think the I like the Karma Code era. I think that was good, and the whole
Hugely
mass thing.
controversial.
Yeah, it was. Because I look at everything like they're in different eras, aren't they? That you go up to, I don't know, Comalize, and then you've got the Karma Code and Shallow Life and that era, and then Delirium onwards. The thing that is my slight bugbear now is the whole Captain Mackie thing and the stage makeup that they have.
You're done with that, aren't you?
I think that they did it for Delirium with Mackie as the captain, and I think that for me, they need to just move away from that. If they're going to a new era, which they are in this album, which will be Dark and the Crow and everything, I don't get why he's still doing the captain thing. I really don't.
Yeah, we talked about this a few times about the kind of persona you have on stage, haven't you? And we could probably reflect on that further, and probably will, depending on what they come out dressed in the next album cycle. For me, my favorite art. There's lots of great art. Okay, just be clear,
Yeah, of course
lots and lots of great art. I think if I look at it by an album, stage presence, Delirium. I love the kind of the
it
faux,
is. Sanatorium stuff.
Sanatorium stuff, with all the straps and the white and stuff. I like that. That was a really good look. But I think album wise, I really like Dark Adrenaline, because you had all the kind of, when you open it up, you had all of the white, but then the sort of droplets of black ink everywhere. I really like that. And the videos were really good, and they had the sort of the little themes, didn't they, where you had the dark side of Christina, who's got the other Christina strapped down. I really like that kind of the overall vibe of the art of that album. And again, similar to kind of Broken Crown Halo, actually. And I know, as controversial as it was, I thought Shallow Life had a really clear artistic style, which was this sort of the kind of this rock, like artist style, and they're all like dressed up and posing, and there's all like the lights going off around from the
The glamour.
paparazzi, the glam side of it, and of course the crystal grenade thing, which was, there's a lot of depth in that image, the idea, and then it all explodes, doesn't it? So the idea of you've got this richness, and you've got it's very fragile anyway, and it can break apart, and that's the kind of vibe I got. But I think overall, I really like Dark Adrenaline, I think, as a more recent one. Anyway, we just spent 10 minutes segueing across into art. Sorry, Izzy. It's a really, really good question, though. And it's that kind of thing that generates fun conversation. So you've been part of the community now, I say, since COVID times. You've been in the karaoke. You won't miss a Twitch stream. What does being a member of the Kakuna Core community mean to you?
I definitely feel like I found like family within people. So it's kind of changed my outlook on a lot of things for positive. Lovely. And it's just such a great group of people. No matter what show I go to, I always meet people. And I love looking forward to like London, at the end of London, just everyone was meeting outside and gathering. Mm-hmm. And I just love that we all check in with each other. And
that is lovely.
I feel like I've kind of grown because of it. So
amazing. Yeah, it's very complete, isn't it? It's like, mm-hmm. I said it before, that the show itself is a part of the event, but meeting up people that you know you haven't seen for a while, and it all feels a very safe community. It just adds an extra dimension, doesn't it? It's not like, for me, other bands, I go to the show, I enjoy the show, I leave the show, I go home. Whereas Lacuna Coil, mm-hmm. I'll meet people there, or maybe we're on a tour, but after the show, we'll meet up again, we'll have a conversation, we'll have a chat. It does feel like an extended family, and I'm glad you feel the same way. It's amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Definitely. And of course, you're coming over to England. So as a part of our whole thing, right? So, you know, because of the impact that this band has had on you, which is just awesome. Well, I'm going to say thank you for joining us today. It's an absolute pleasure. And I can't wait for us to catch up again in real life when you're in the UK, right? We'll have to make a point of doing that. But thank you so much for joining us. It's been a delight talking to you and hearing a little bit about art and how you got into the band and how they've really helped you through COVID, and just an awesome story. So thank you very much, Izzy. We're gonna do a review. You want to stay with us to do the review? You okay with that? We don't want to press game.
Yeah,
here, but...
we can do that.
Yeah, no, cool. All right.
O total de mortes já chega a 6.329.
More Americans have died from coronavirus.
As the number of coronavirus da início epidemia in Italia.
That brings us on to our review. We are almost all the way through Comalize XX. We're almost there, guys. Just a few left to go. And this episode, we are going to review Angel's Punishment XX. Angel's Punishment XX. Mike, do you want to start? Tell us about Angel's Punishment XX.
Okay, so a little bit of an intro with the original. The original, as we know, was quite long.
Yep.
3:56, and the do-do-do as it starts with the guitars and everything. That has kind of gone now, with it being a lot shorter, over 30 seconds shorter. Whereas originally it was the do-do-do guitar bit. The
do-do-do, slow... that's your that's your review. Do-do-do. The do-do-do. Okay.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
I absolutely know what you mean. Yeah.
The synth and everything was about 30 odd seconds, very angelic, and it felt like that. Now this is cranked up with the radio, cranking and over it, and then bang, a big start to it. To me, though, when it does start, it has got in the background the undertones of the original. Mm-hmm. Christina's vocals with the delivery of the song are the same. The only difference is this dual layers with Christina singing higher and Andy in the background this time.
Yeah.
And the lower range with Christina in the Can't You Take Me part, which I think works well. The drums are a heavier feature in this throughout the song.
Yeah.
And overall, I think the harmony with Christina Andrea's vocals work better. And that's about it. It's shorter, and it's punctier and it's more to the point. It's completely different, yet links to the past of the original.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Babe, what are your thoughts on this one? So firstly, what did you think of the original? Because I know what Mike thought of the original. What do you think of the original?
The original, much like I said last time with the... there's certain album fillers, and I don't really like that statement because it kind of
belittles. Yeah, you use it all the time.
And yes, I use it. I know it's a handy one to use, but it's a little bit unfair because it does belittle the songwriting, and the songwriting is still great. Okay, because it's Lacuna Coil. I have to repeat that all these comments and scores, they're based on within the Lacuna Coil songwriting, so yep. It's not against other people yep. Who they would trounce anyway. So, well, it's meh, isn't it?
You're not biased, are you? Totally not biased, but yeah.
But yeah, so there's still certain album fillers, and this is not a standout song. It is a Lacuna Coil album filler.
Okay.
It was before on the original, and it still is, I'm afraid.
Okay, don't be afraid.
If you had to pin me down, which you are, and say which version would I listen to, which one's the better version?
Which version would you listen to? Which one's the better version?
This is probably technically the better version.
Okay.
And I think generally Mike's got it spot on. Everything that I was going to say, he's said it, covered it. Yep, that's absolutely right. But there's two points I'm going to pick up on. Firstly, is the guitar solo, which on the original one, it wasn't so much a solo as a few notes repeated.
Yep.
And I think in actual fact, it was more important that way than what they've done here, because that gave you the repetitive hook that it defined itself. Those notes were definite notes, and they were meant to be there because of the repetition. It says, here they are, here's a little hook, that's what you've got. This time round, they've put a solo in, which it's not forced enough to be a standout solo. It still seems very background. And it's not so much forgettable, but perhaps interchangeable. I can imagine that being played live, and it could change every time, maybe just slightly, but it could just be interpreted slightly different, and it would be, you know, not a piece. It would just be a section of the song.
Mm-hmm.
So it's lost all identity, essentially.
Interesting.
The second point is, what's happened to Andy's vocals? Where are they? They've been, like, faded back. They've been vaselined over into almost obscurity. Before, he sounded so much angrier, and it made the song angrier, and there was an identity again. He really stood out on the original, and he's just been sort of washed aside. It's almost reverse engineering, and not particularly a fan of that.
Okay, interesting. Anything more you want to add?
No, other than just meh.
Okay. Meh is what we get from Angel's Punishment. Okay, so let me give you my thoughts on Angel's Punishment. So, firstly, you should know that I'm a big fan of the original. One of my favourite songs, actually, on Coma Lice. I found it was quite distinct. Definitely not a filler for me. I really like Christina's vocals. They're quite intimate in your face, because there wasn't a lot of instruments in the background. They were really there. They were, you know, you listen to it on headphones, you feel like she's talking into your ear. And I really like the juxtaposition between the kind of lightweight verses, and then the chorus would hit you really quite hard with Andrea, as you say, being like, you know, can you take, you know, that kind of really heavy growl, and it would hit you quite hard. And then it would go back to the second verse, you know, destruction, dark paradise, collecting souls to analyze, war, destruction. And then you get the repeat. And I really like the format of it. picking up on the point you said about kind of being lost now, I this is absolutely just supposition, but there's something quite naive about the original Angel's Punishment. It felt like a song that had been written by a band that was, you know, in their, we'll call it second album, okay? And they were still quite experimental about how they were constructing songs. So it feels quite experimental. You know, you've got the mix of the new stories into it, and that leads you to consider, is it an anti-war song? Is it an anti-this song? What messages are in it? You've got that. And that was why I liked it so much, because it was quite experimental. What we have now is something which is no longer feels experimental. It feels like a solid part of an album, like of the album, but it doesn't have that experimentation about it. And I think it's, as a consequence, it's worse as a result. It's still a, for me, it's still a good song, but it's not as good as the original, because that was more experimental. And it feels like that naivety or experimentation or whatever you want to call it that we had in the original Angel's Punishment has been lost now. And I think it ties into your point, Dave, about the guitar solos there, because that's what you have in the construction of a song, right? Whack a guitar solo in. It's not a bad guitar solo. It's absolutely fine. It's not particularly high in the mix. The original just had a guitar hook, didn't really have a solo. It didn't really need it. I do like the there's a slow reprise now, so that it kind of gives the song a bit of a different tone towards the end before you get the return, which is fine. I don't like the fact that Andrea doesn't feel so angry and isn't there and isn't taking over the chorus. So you get the harmony, and I'm going to say it, I love a lacuna core harmony. Everybody loves a lacuna core harmony, but I like the fact that the two singers can also have their own identity within a song. And I think they've lost a bit of their identity in this one. Okay, so that's kind of my view on it. Of course, the recorded stuff, you've got, you know, some more Italian mixes in it, which is reinforces the band's identity, which is quite nice. And there's made a reference to coronavirus, which actually places it now in time, doesn't it? It's now saying this is a post or a during the pandemic kind of song. Which I'm not sure how I feel about that, actually. I feel that you could still give it that kind of anti-something or that sense of presence without necessarily having to fix it in time, which is what I think the coronavirus references do in the kind of recorded mixdown new sections. So, yeah, it's a more balanced version as a song, but I enjoyed the imbalance that the original Angel's Punishment had, and I enjoyed the experimentation of it. Izzy, your thoughts on Angel's Punishment?
Yeah, so I actually wrote a little bit about what I thought about it, and both you and Dave did pinpoint a lot of my points. So I like the original song. I do. I like how kind of the meaning behind it, and I agree that Andrea's voice was a lot more heavier on the original version, which I think gets the point across a little better with the feel of the song. And even the background music, it kind of has a like a haunting feel to it in the original, which kind of I feel like is the point. And in the new song, I like that they brought up COVID for the beginning parts to make it more modern, because this is the 20 years later.
Yeah.
And so that part I liked that they put that in there. And but I think that Andrea's vocals could have been a little heavier for this, especially where the rest of the album, XX album, I feel like his vocals were more harder than on the original, and I liked that they did that because I think he does a great job at that.
Mm.
So the fact that it was kind of taken away in this song, I feel like it took from the song a little bit.
Yeah, it's almost like the compromise. It's like, you know, the one song out of Comalize that he had was really aggressive. They drew that aggression back. And then the other songs where he wasn't so aggressive, they brought it back. And it's almost like EQing a music, isn't it? Where if you bring it all back to the middle, in the center lies mediocrity, doesn't it? So it's like it feels like it's gone from something extreme to something more mediocre. Okay. Yeah, interesting points. Interesting points. Kind of certainly generated an interesting discussion as Angel's Punishment, not one that I was expecting. So yeah, fascinating stuff. In terms of the original review of this, we reviewed this back in episode 49 of the Empty Spiral podcast, which was published on the 11th of January 2014. Okay, so 10 years ago and some. So, well, nearly 11 years ago, really. So a long time ago. Russ at the time gave it a 9 out of 10. Mike, you gave it a 10 out of 10, the original Angel's Punishment, and I gave it a 9 out of 10. Now, clearly, opinion can change. Mike, in 2024, late 2024, Angel's Punishment XX, what are you going to give it?
I don't know. Maybe a 7.
7? Yeah. Okay. Seven. Yeah. Okay. Do you think that your original... Your view of the original Angel's Punishment is still as it was? You know, you gave it a 10 out of 10 years ago, or is it an
maybe a bit lower, maybe a 9. I mean, I did love it originally, but yeah. It's one of those songs, like I was looking back before, they played it on the tour when it came out,
yeah.
And then that was it. I don't think they've ever played it since the tour when the album came out.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they have, it's very, very sporadic.
I remember seeing some really old pixelated videos of them all wearing the monk's clothes singing Dangerous.
Yeah, in Milan. They've done it in Milan and they've done it in Spain, I think. But they did it on that cycle in very few places.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it. So,
not really a song you bop along to, is it, really?
Does that reflect where it is as a song as well? I mean, originally, it was fantastic, but... it's one of those things.
Fair enough. Okay. What about you, Dave? What are you going to give it out of 10, given that you said it was meh?
Yeah. Well, it just doesn't excite me like so many other songs do. Okay. So for that, it's 4.5.
4.5? Okay. All right. Okay. That's pretty grim.
Pretty meh.
Exactly.
Okay. So I said I gave the original 9 out of 10, and I still think it's probably up there with Entwined as, you know, one of my favorite songs of the original Comalize era. This one, and I am comparing the two of them, rather I'm not comparing Angel's Punishment XX to the rest of the songs on the XX album. Okay, I'm comparing this directly to Angel's Punishment. I still think Angel's Punishment is a really unconventional good song. I listen to it a lot. This is a more balanced version of it, but I don't need that balance. I don't need it to be more generic. I needed it to push the extremes further, and it didn't do that. So I'm going to say that Angel's Punishment XX is a 7 out of 10 for me, and I still think the original Angel's Punishment sits there up there in the 9 out of 10 space. It would definitely be on my kind of Matt's Lacuna Coil album if I was to make my own version. If you see what I mean. Izzy, what about you? What's your sort of scores on the doors, as it were?
I think compared to the original, also 7.
Okay. So there we go. We've got 7 out of 10, 4.5 out of 10. He likes to burn it this day. Bridges as he goes. Burning the bridges as he goes. Izzy, 7 out of 10. I'm giving it a 7 out of 10 as well. So there you go. Angel's Punishment XX. Job done. Right, well, we're pretty much at a close, folks. The Empty Spiral podcast. It's been a great conversation. Izzy, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you
taking the time.
Oh, no, it's an absolute pleasure. No.
Yeah, and, thank you.
We expect you to be on again when you're on UK time as well. So when you hit the UK, come and join us. And we also want to hang out in person more, right? Okay, you're a little closer to us now. I mean, you're basically next door to Mike. You could probably wave
each other
out the window.
He's like, yeah.
Down the road, isn't it? So,
yeah.
And Dave's not that far away. If you wave a flag, he'll probably see it. So I'm a little further, but so we can make that work. But no, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for taking the time. As always, Mike, Dave, thanks for chilling out and talking, chewing the cunt and being amazing. We are close to Christmas. I hope that this will go live before Christmas. And I hope you all have an amazing Christmas. And we probably won't speak before beginning of 2025, but I'm sure we'll be speaking early on in 2025 as we pretty much close down now on Caramelize XX in preparation.
Looking forward to the Sleepless Empire.
Looking forward to the Sleepless Empire and lots of bird skulls and stuff. Yeah, it'd be amazing. So anyway, thank you very much, everybody. For those of you listening, of course, you can check us out at emptyspiral.net, the Lacuna Core community. We're also on Discord if you want to hang out and talk to us. Active in the Coiler community, whether that's on Facebook or on Instagram. You'll see us on Twitch from time to time when Christina does her thing. And we're generally around. We're generally around buzzing and chatting and spreading the love, as it were, not in a weird way, just, you know, posting about Lacuna Core is what we really meant. But, you know, everybody have a great time over Christmas and listen to more Lacuna Core. And I'm going to check out.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.